you considering osteopathic medical school or allopathic, or both? Are you a pre-med who is passionately interested in healthcare, but not sure how you can convert that interest and passion into action? Let's find answers to all these questions as I talk with the incoming president of AMSA in just a couple of minutes. Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast about graduate admissions. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. Accepted.com has tons of resources for pre-meds, everything from webinars to podcasts to articles and free special downloadable reports. Today, I want to highlight two of these resources. First, for those of you working on your MCAS application, I'd like to recommend Ace Your MCAS Essay. Again, it's a free downloadable report, and I'll include a URL in the show notes, and we'll give you information on how you can get those show notes in just a second. For those of you who have already submitted your MCAS and who are awaiting or already receiving secondaries, I have two aids I would like to highlight for you. First, Medical School Secondary Essay Handbook, School-Specific Tips for Top Programs. It's exactly what it says, tips for specific secondary essays. And then the second one is an upcoming webinar, Secondary Essays at Score Interviews, a webinar that will take place on June 25th. Alicia McNeese de Moncar is going to present that webinar. I'll include a link to the registration page in the show notes. And again, we'll include links to these resources, as well as others mentioned later in the show, at info.accepted.com/60. This is our 60th episode. But don't go there yet. I'll repeat the URL after we meet the person who is promising to be a fascinating guest. I would like to introduce Dr. Brittany Kessler, who recently graduated from NOVA, Southeastern University College of Osteopathic Medicine, and previously earned her BS at Florida Atlantic University. This year, she is full-time president at the American Medical Student Association, otherwise known as AMSA, an organization with over 40,000 members. She herself has been a member since 2006. Next year, after completing her term of office, she hopes to enter a residency program in pediatrics. Welcome, Brittany, to Admission Straight Talk, or is Dr. Kessler still fresh enough where you prefer that?
Brittany is fine. Thank you for having me on the show. The doctor is still a little new to me.
Yeah, I actually just ran into one of my son's friends who just became a doctor, just became an MD, and Dr. So-and-so, good to see you. And I've known him since he was in elementary school, but I think he kind of enjoyed the title.
Yes, it's new. It's a little exciting, so I'm sure it'll take some getting used to.
Yeah, and it's something to be proud of. It's quite an achievement. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy the moment and enjoy the accomplishment. Can you tell us about your own path to medicine, to a career as a doctor?
Sure. So I'm actually one of the first people in my family to go to college. So medicine has not been on my mind since a child. As a matter of fact, I actually didn't like doctors when I was younger. I was very scared of them as a child, so it never entered my head to become a doctor. Mm-hmm. However, I've always been interested in science. I've always been fascinated by it. So when I entered college, I decided I wanted to be a biology major, but not really knowing exactly what I wanted to do. And in my first science courses with biology, I got to know the human anatomy a little bit better by taking some of those classes in psychology. You get to know the human brain, mm-hmm. and it fascinated me at that point. So after studying the human anatomy a little bit more and from some advice from some friends to, you know, shadow a doctor, give it a second chance, I kind of fell in love through medicine in college, actually, mm-hmm. when I shadowed a doctor for the first time, when I took some advice and decided to take the plunge.
And did you test your interest with other volunteer commitments also?
Yes, I also volunteered in a hospital wing to see if it's the type of environment that I wanted to work in.
Sure.
As well as you know, shadowing to see if that's something that I specifically liked. So it was kind of a little bit of both, to see the job itself and the environment that you'd be working in. And I had decided that this was something that I could do. And I kind of took the plunge, and it's actually how I got involved with AMSA, but I'll wait on that a little bit. I have a whole story.
Okay, we'll get to that in just a second. You studied osteopathic medicine. Are you glad you went the osteopathic route, and why or why
not? I am. Sure. So I'm very glad that I took the osteopathic route. I've always again, been fascinated by how the human body and how it works and how it moves. And I had friends that were in the, you know, friends and mentors who were above me while I was a pre-med. And they were in osteopathic medical school themselves. And I always saw them, you know, hands-on with each other, learning how to heal with their hands. And I, for years as a pre-medical student, thought that was so fascinating, to be able to heal someone and diagnose someone potentially with your hands. Now, not necessarily, you can't really diagnose cancer or anything with your hands, but the fact that you can actually touch your patient and see what areas of their musculature need to be worked on or, you know, realigned. And as a student learning, I found that fascinating. And I decided that that's the route that I wanted to take, to be hands-on and to be able to think outside the box and really, you know, use all of my senses to help my patients.
What percentage of treatment do you feel that, you know, as an osteopath, you can go with a non-pharmaceutical treatment?
Sure. I mean, there are so many, I couldn't give you an exact percentage off, but there are so many different things that you can use osteopathic medicine for.
Really?
You know, obviously you can use it for your musculature and joints and anything that's out of line with that you can do. But for other things like being able to feel a lump on a patient, okay, this, you know, you have so much experience using your hands and having that tactile information. Okay, is this lump, is it made of fat? Is it made of something else? Is it something that we should be looking at? Or, you know, you can see that something's swollen. What kind of fluid is this? Is this a lymphatic fluid that you can move? There's lots of different techniques that you can use just by using your hands. So, you know, for example, a lot of the times I'll have, you know, in the office, if someone has a sinus infection and they're very, very stuffy, there are certain moves that I can use with my hands to actually help drain that.
Really?
Yes, it's very popular here at the AMSA office. we actually have a table set up inside one of the rooms. So if anyone's not feeling well, I can help them out. So lots of little things like that.
That's interesting. Okay, that's fascinating. So how did you get involved in AMSA? What is the story that you have us on the edge of our seats?
Sure. So my AMSA story. So like I said, I was one of the first people in my family to college, and I had decided I wanted to be pre-med, but I was very, very nervous because I had no idea what I was doing at that time, you know, let alone what I was doing in college. It was a very nerve-wracking time in my life, deciding to become pre-med and then not knowing what to do at all. And so I remember one day when I was on the Florida Atlantic University campus and I was walking down our school breezeway, and I saw a banner and it said, pre-medical student, come to an AMSA meeting. So I decided, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. To begin with, maybe this will give me some insight. So I went to the AMSA meeting, and from then on, everyone in that meeting, about 10 other students, kind of took me in and showed me what it meant to be a successful pre-medical student and kind of gave me reassurance. And, you know, we studied together for our classes, and they really gave me some insight on what it was to be a pre-medical student, what it was to be a medical student. And they really kind of just took me in and gave me leadership skills in addition. So, for example, I remember going to, you know, shortly after I joined AMSA as a pre-med, we went to our first national convention. It was my first national convention either, and this is where I really got hooked. I was at this convention, and I just remember looking around the hall, and I saw, you know, over 1,000 other medical students, pre-medical students that were just like me, and that feeling of isolation and being alone in this journey just completely dissipated, seeing all of those other students.
Okay.
And on that convention, they actually did a rally on Capitol Hill, and just the sense of fulfillment that I got being surrounded by students in white coats actually going to advocate for something, that really just got me hooked in and really gave me some encouragement to say, okay, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I can get through my pre-medical courses, and I have a whole bunch of people who are trying to do the same thing, and we're going to help each other to get through this journey.
So the primary benefit for you was just this support network, the idea that if they can do it, I can do it, and you can help each other do it.
Exactly. For that first time kind of, you know, college student, first time pre-med, that was so important to me to feel like I had other people trying to do the same thing as me, and I can see them do it, so I can do it myself.
And were many of them also, like, first-generation college students?
There were a couple. There's in my time in AMSA, I've met a good mix. I've met many groups where this was their first time in college, mm-hmm. and then I've had some where they had doctors in the family throughout their life. So I've had the opportunity to kind of see both sides of the coin, and I've really enjoyed those experiences.
Now, you recently became not just an AMSA member or trustee mm-hmm. or vice whatever or chapter president. You recently became AMSA's national president. And I believe that's currently your full-time position until mm-hmm. you start your residency. What are your plans and goals for AMSA during your term?
Sure. So, as always, our goal is to make sure that students feel like they have a place to come to, feel like they have a place of support and networking. And, you know, my goal is for all students, whether pre-med, med, allied health, or what have you, to feel empowered and engaged, that they can actually make a stand or have their voice heard now. You don't need to wait until you're a doctor or a professional to really have your voice heard. You can actually do it now. So I want to make sure that we give our students leadership opportunities to help them find their voice. You know, how do you start out being an advocate? And to make sure that we give them opportunities for after they find their voice to actually go out into the world and not only be advocates for themselves, but be advocates for their future patients as well.
I also want to just mention, this is me editorializing for a second, the importance of leadership in the application process. It is the one quality that I think is valued universally across the board by any graduate school. Whether it's medicine, business, law, academic programs, if you have assumed responsibility for a chapter, an event, whatever, if you've moved people, motivated people, organized people, then you've led, and that is a quality that's very, very, very much valued. So what you're telling me, Brittany, is that AMSA is a venue that enables, that appreciates student leaders and also provides opportunity for leadership, correct?
Yes, most definitely. I've been in every kind of position, starting out as a pre-med, from a local leader to a chapter president to a regional director to a national director. So you definitely work your way up. I didn't just become, you know, president overnight. It took a lot of leadership training in between pre-medical and now.
And nobody waved a magic wand either, I bet.
No, definitely not. It, you know, as a pre-medical student, you know, it takes a lot of hard work. So you just have to kind of apply that in all areas of your life. And luckily, throughout the process, I've had amazing leadership opportunities to really explore my skills because, you know, believe it or not, I actually used to be very shy and not want to speak in front of, you know, in front of public or in front of everyone. But, you know, I was kind of brought out of my shell. And through AMSA, I've also had amazing mentors who have really stuck with me all the way to this point, and they've really helped me along the way as well. So I think that's another important aspect of being a pre-medical student is definitely getting mentors and holding on to them.
Right. I know, again, I already made my plug for leadership opportunities and the value in in the application process. But I happen to be reading a book now. It's Daniel Pink's, I think the title of the book is It's Human to Sell or something along those lines. But he uses sell in its broadest meaning, and it basically means to motivate. Mm-hmm. So his thesis is that everybody is in the business of selling. It's not just the used car salesman on the lot or anything like that. But he maintains, and he brings research to bear, that it's not the introvert, it's not the extrovert that are best at leading or at motivating. It's what he calls the ambivert, those who are sometimes introverted and those who are sometimes extroverted. So you might have been a closet ambivert all along. But, you know, people who are very happy to sometimes shrink into the background but are also willing to step up to the plate when necessary apparently are those who make the best leaders.
Well, that's a good sign.
Okay. Anyway, I was just reading this last night. So can you tell us about some of the advocacy work that AMSA does?
Sure. So right now, actually, a couple of weeks ago, we did a lobby day with Physicians for a National Health Program, and we did a lobby day and training. We kind of taught students how to be advocates and we actually took them up on Capitol Hill, and we were advocating for a single-payer health care system. So that's one of the major things that we did in this last couple of weeks, and we hope to keep that up with our single-payer campaign. We are also working with our Just Medicine campaign to make sure that what students are learning in school is conflict-free, so we're definitely interested in conflict of interest and making sure that students have the opportunity to have an unbiased education. So those are the two major things that we're working on at the moment. However, we do have an entire health policy team made up of medical students and pre-medical students that are always looking for things that AMHSA as an organization can advocate for. We have a vast variety of opinions on many topics, so we kind of just wait and see what comes out of the ether so we can, you know, pounce on it and help our students have opportunities to be engaged.
Now, you mentioned the need for an unbiased education. Does that relate to the National Opt-Out Day?
It does. We really advocate for making sure that as physicians, our information, our prescribing habits, are our own. So National Opt-Out Day, for those of you that don't know, is making sure that our prescribing information is off of listservs that pharmaceutical companies can actually purchase. So AMHSA advocates for making sure that we opt out of these listservs to make sure that our prescribing information is not sold to pharmaceutical companies. So it's definitely something that we advocate for, and our next push for that will be in spring of 2015.
So I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. So you're saying that pharmaceutical companies get a history of the medications that medical students and doctors, I assume, prescribe?
Not medical students. Our prescribing data is not in the system until graduation.
Okay.
But after graduation.
Yeah, I guess you can't prescribe until you're a physician, right?
Exactly. Right. I would hope not.
Yeah. So,
but yeah.
And that data is used by pharmaceutical companies for marketing purposes?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it can be used for marketing purposes or just so companies can kind of learn your prescribing habits.
I see. Oh, okay. And then what if a student wants to get involved in AMHSA but maybe doesn't believe in a single-payer system?
Oh, it doesn't. You know, it doesn't. If you don't believe in a single-payer healthcare system, that's completely fine. Our main goal is not specifically for these health policies. You don't have to believe in every single health policy that we have to be an active and engaged member. We have stances on a variety of things, and members frequently have opposing views at times on certain things. So I would say don't let that stop you from being able to get leadership experience. You can get involved in a variety of levels. You can work on your local chapter level, being a chapter officer. You can be on one of our action committees. We have action committees on a variety of topics, such as health policy, medical education, LGBTQ health, medical reform. So there's a lot of different action committees that if you're interested in a certain topic, you can actually be one of our national leaders and help us learn about these topics and help other students learn about these topics as well. Personally, I was on the membership side myself, and I actually was a regional director, and my job was to connect with students in my region and help them come up with leadership opportunities and activities. So there are many, many different levels that you can become a leader within our organization.
So what about, I assume, if AMHSA is taking a stance on a position, be it, you know, unbiased prescribing or you know, national healthcare system, whatever it is, this stance is somehow determined by the membership, right? Or by the board or something like that.
Yes. So it's definitely not by the board. It's actually determined by our membership. Mm-hmm. Every year at our national convention, we have what's called a House of Delegates. And a House of Delegates is a convening of all of the medical student representatives in the country. And it is there that they have the opportunity to bring resolutions to the House and to actually come up with statements on whether our organization believes in that or not. So all of the stances that AMHSA holds are actually advocated for and chosen by our members. So if a student doesn't like this stance, that we, you know, that we stand for something, they're more than welcome to bring something to our House of Delegates for this upcoming year, and that will get discussed on and debated on, and ultimately passed or not passed by our House of Delegates. So myself as a Board of Trustees member, I am bound by what to say by what our members decide on at this House of Delegates.
Sure. That makes sense. You're representing the organization.
Exactly.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit about the conference? I actually presented at the conference a couple of times, and it looked like a fantastic conference, a lot of energy, a lot of excitement. I think there were a couple thousand people there, maybe more. I don't remember.
So every year we have a national convention, and that is welcome to pre-medical students, medical students, allied health members. And the purpose of the conference is to really get students energized for the year and give them skills such as the leadership and advocacy training that we had spoken about earlier, all in one place. So this year, our national convention will be from February 26th to March 1st in Washington, D.C. and Crystal City. So this event, it brings together, like you said, hopefully 1,000 medical students, pre-medical students together to really network with each other, and our goals are really to give you education that you might not get in traditional schooling, such as how to be an advocate and mentorship qualities. And we actually even have osteopathic manipulative mixers that we have. That's actually how I found out about osteopathic medicine to begin with. I actually went to a mixer, and that's actually where I first found out about it, and it was an AMSA convention. So we have different kinds of mixers in the evenings. We have health policy mixers and LGBT mixers. And the goal is to really get you to connect with other students that you might not know across the country, which is always fun. And, our, you know, we always want to bring in inspiring keynotes that kind of – our goal is to keep you going throughout the year, not just at the AMSA convention, to really get you inspired and to kind of see that light at the end of the tunnel. So National Convention is one of – you know, is my favorite time of the year in AMSA because there's just so much energy brought into one place, and it really kind of gets you pumped up and excited to be in this profession.
Now, you mentioned allied health professionals, and I noticed that AMSA invites those interested in healthcare and who are not physicians in training to join. What do you offer, you know, PAs, physical therapists, nurses, allied health professionals?
Sure. So as an allied health professional, you know, we all want to be together in one community. You know, health isn't just determined by a medical student or a doctor. It's determined by everyone. It's determined by the nurses, the pharmacists, the physical therapists, what have you. So they are all welcome to any of our programming. They're welcome to our national convention, any of our fall conferences, leadership training, because we feel that all students should be able to have this advocacy and leadership training to be better at everything that they can do. And we also provide networking opportunities so they can network with each other and we can network with them, because I think this is a new age of healthcare with interprofessionalism. So, you know, as students, we all need to learn together in order to treat patients better for the future.
Okay, great. Now, this past February, the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai announced that it will begin admitting half its class in their sophomore year and without an MCAT. And there are some schools, separately, there are some schools experimenting with a 3-year med school experience. What do you see coming down the pike in med ed? What do you think of these two developments? I think they're somewhat contradictory, actually.
Yes, it's very interesting hearing that a medical school is not going to do the MCAT. Coming from my day, that is definitely unheard of. So I think it's an interesting development. I'm curious to see how it's going to turn out. But in terms of what's coming down the pipe for medical education, I think that we're really going to be focusing on, again, that interprofessionalism, how to work in a team. I think that communication is going to be emphasized more so than it has been in the past, because
right.
There are so many team members nowadays interacting in the healthcare system that as to be an effective physician, you need to be able to communicate with team members or care will be sacrificed. So I think that is something that's definitely going to be focused on. I think there's so many different technologies that are coming down now that we have a school with Google Glass. you know, and all kinds of virtual things. We have simulation labs nowadays. I think there's two different aspects. There's the one in interprofessionalism, and we definitely have a technology aspect that we could branch down because I feel like that's the wave of the future as well. So definitely, I think a little more humanities-based than it has been in the past. So I'm very curious to see where it goes.
Well, that's obviously the MCAT itself is changing. One of the big changes is it's bringing in non-science to the test. And then the other big change, well, if ICON is, well, it does have some very specific science requirements for people participating, you know, for this half of the class that's going to be admitted without the MCAT and as a sophomore, it seems to me like it's going to be looking at other things, maybe the leadership qualities that AMHSA is promoting and developing and nurturing, though it's going to be looking at them very early in the college student's career.
I think so. I mean, you can learn the sciences, but sometimes it's a little more difficult to learn how to be a good communicator and learn how to be that team leader. So I think that's something that's definitely going to change.
And what about a three-year med school? Obviously, the cost of medical school is exorbitant.
It is. So that could definitely be something, a positive for those medical students. I think it could be a good thing. There's upsides and downsides to it. There's that 1 year that you will have where you're not paying tuition. That 1 year where you can, I'm assuming in this clinical year, you're very focused on what you want to do or you're very focused on primary care. So you might not have to go and through those rotations that might not focus on primary care. But on the other side, you know, you don't have physically as many hours in the hospital as you would as someone who does 4 years. So it has its pros and its cons. And as to the outcomes, I think we're just going to have to wait and see about how those students do and how they feel and do they feel prepared for a residency. What kind of residencies are they getting into?
Right. So, do they match?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So it's very, very interesting. I'm kind of excited about all of these changes to see where it's going.
It'll be interesting to watch and see. And do you have any advice for someone wanting to pursue an MD or a DO? And would the advice differ depending upon which path the person wants to go down?
I think, first off, for any student that's wanting to go down the medical field, just remember, no matter where you are in the game, keep your head focused, keep focused, and, you know, don't be worried by your studies. You can get through it. One big suggestion is please make time for your family and friends while you're in this process. You can get so self-absorbed in medical school just concentrating on your studies that you really forget to take time for yourself and for your family, and I think that's actually detrimental to your studies in the long run. Okay. Remember that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay. You know, sometimes we're very stubborn, and we just want to do things ourselves. And, you know, ask your classmates if you need help with your studies. Ask your family or friends if you just want to talk about something that you've seen in your clinical studies that might be kind of worrisome to you. And then, you know, just I think the main thing is rely on your friends and family and keep focused. I know when I was in medical school, I made sure, you know, I could be studying all day, but I would have dinner with my husband every night because, you know, we still needed to stay connected. And I think that kind of kept me sane in the long run. So, you know, you can do it. Just, you know, advocate for yourself and be a leader. For those students that want to go into the DO schools, the only other thing that I would suggest is make sure that before you decide to go down the osteopathic route that you actually shadow a physician who does osteopathic manipulative medicine because that is a part of your coursework and you should be exposed to it before you apply. So that's my advice.
That sounds like great advice. Thank you.
No problem.
I think we're out of time. Brittany, how can a listener learn more about AMHSA and your work there and how can someone get involved in AMHSA?
Sure. So if you're interested in AMHSA, please go to www.amhsa.org. And you can find out everything that you want about the organization, and it'll give you leadership opportunities to see where you can get involved and what openings we have. You can also follow us on Twitter at AMHSAPres, and I actually just got an Instagram account at AMHSA National. We are also on Facebook. under the American Medical Student Association. So there's lots of different ways to connect with us via email and social media, and we're more than happy to answer any questions that any students might have.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me here today and sharing your story, as well as your hopes and dreams for the American Medical Student Association. We'll include links in the show notes at info.exhibit.com/60. We'll also link to the resources I mentioned earlier, as well as to AMHSA.org. Check out the links. Again, you'll find them at info.exhibit.com/60. Listener, thank you, too, for tuning in to this, our 60th episode. If you found this episode worthwhile, please share the good word. We have made it really easy for you to do so. Just go to info.exhibit.com/love. There is a pre-populated tweet that you can send to your Twitter followers, or copy and paste it into Facebook or LinkedIn, any kind of update on your wall. Thanks in advance, and again, that URL for the pre-populated tweet or post is info.exhibit.com/love. And if you have a question you would like answered or you want to provide feedback directly to me, please do so at info.exhibit.com/60. That's the show notes. And just scroll down to the image with a mic. You can leave an audio message there by clicking on that mic from your computer, your tablet, or your phone. Alternatively, simply send a good old-fashioned email to questions@exhibit.com. I'll select questions that I think are relevant to our listeners and answer them. Finally, if you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Exhibit.com, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by PodcastThemes.com.